Hi, I'm Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Just kidding. I'm Lilia.
I'm Eleanor.
And welcome back to A Double-Sided Story.
All right, if you can't tell by that intro, we do have quite the theme this episode.
Happy Barbie week, guys.
Oh, Barbenheimer.
I saw a trailer, like someone edited together the two trailers for the movies.
I saw a movie poster, like the La La Land poster, that was photoshopped, Barbenheimer.
I feel like I might have seen that tour. You might have sent it to me. I love the memes.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah, we're just basically, it's a pretty niche topic this week. We're going to talk about the Barbie movie and a lot of things like, I don't know, our experience with this kind of thing, expectations for the movie, and marketing.
Yeah. I think we start with, like, personal history with Barbie, because I don't know about you. But I was obsessed. I mean, I had, like, a Barbie dream house. I had, if you remember the Barbie movies, what was it? The Diamond Castle one?
Right? Are you talking about, like, the early 2000s direct-to-video ones? Because I love the 12 Dancing Princesses and Princess and the Pauper.
I probably had, like, 50 of those. Just they're still downstairs in, like, you know, the TV cabinet with the CD players we don't use anymore. But, No, we had, like, all of them, and, like, we had, like, the Disney Barbie castle. I said Disney, not Disney, you know, like, the Barbie castle, and I have the dolls from all the movies. I had a carriage that turned into a hot air balloon. Oh, my God, wow. That might be where my love for hot air balloons came from. No, I was obsessed. Like, every birthday, every holiday, it would be, can I have more Barbies? Can I have these Barbie things? I would get so many cool Barbie stuff, which I don't think my parents ever listened to this podcast, but like, shout out Mom and Dad for buying me all of that. made for a great job.
I loved them too. I wasn't quite that into it, but I had quite a few Barbies, and I had like all the Disney princesses and a bunch of the Disney fairies. I think I didn't have like the dream house, but I had definitely a dollhouse, and actually parted with it embarrassingly late in life. Like, I was maybe 13. Yeah, I love the Barbie movies too. I think I remember very early on sewing little clothes for my Barbies and then not sewing for a bunch more years and then just starting back a few months. I don't know, maybe it predicted my love of sewing. But that's my experience with Barbie itself. However, I am in love with the aesthetic.
Yeah. This is a little side tangent. Obviously, this is a podcast. Our lovely listeners cannot see us, but most of our lovely listeners also have, our content consumers have also met us in real life. I'm currently going through a whole style switch.
Revamp.
Yeah. Today, we got a nice, like, yellow fairy shirt. I don't know how else to describe it. It's very yellow fairy shirt. And overalls and painted shoes. I wear painted shoes every day now. Why? Because I work at a paint place, and so my shoes are painted. But, like, you've always had, like, a very, I said always, the past year or so, would you say?
As I came into my, like, real person style, I would say always.
Yeah. Latter high school.
Yeah, yeah. Because I kind of dressed like a businesswoman my freshman year, but I choose not to count that.
Freshman year isn't real.
Nope. But I still love the aesthetic. I love, like, pink. And the colorful makeup, and even just, I don't know, like, this is kind of dumb, but, like, the boards on Pinterest with all of the collections and the TikTok videos, they just make me so happy. I don't know, it's just me.
Yeah, but I love, like, not just the aesthetic, but everything Barbie stands for.
Yes, absolutely. Like, the yearly presidential Barbies, and, that's the biggest thing I can think of, and like the all the different jobs she has, and it's like, I don't know, that I feel like there's a wide variation of jobs, because there's some of them that's like, I don't know, not traditionally shown for little girls, like doctor, president, and astronaut, and then there's also ones that maybe is more traditionally, it's very like, you can be whatever you want. That's very good. Like, I think it's a great thing.
And what I love about it is that it never sacrifices being feminine for it. Like, I feel Absolutely. Like a lot of times in modern media, you get a lot of like, oh, look at this powerful businesswoman, but she only ever wears like pantsuits and she dresses more masculine and she never wears makeup because she's one of the guys. And
Hair
you
up in
know,
a tight bun.
yeah, it's like Barbie would have her long flowing hair when job appropriate,
Yeah, she.
and still able to wear a dress and be incredible.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you said it better that I don't know. I feel like we kind of, I don't mean to get into this early on in the episode, but I feel like we kind of teach that, especially in the last maybe 15 years, that femininity is a little bit degrading or inherently unintelligent. And I don't know. I feel like it's a new brand of misogyny that we are not as equipped for as the other types.
Yeah. It's like last night I got into a discussion with my mom and her fiance all about like makeup and beauty standards and like a little bit of like teaching women to be insecure about things. This came from an ad that was supposed to make your eye drops to make your eyes brighter for 12 hours. And I looked at that and I was like, why is this something that we're teaching women to be insecure about? This just feels so random. Like, you know, if you need eye drops for like actual eye problems, that's one thing. But just because your eyes need to be brighter and like glow more and get rid of the veins in your eyes, that seems ridiculous. And we got into just a whole discussion about like beauty standards and stuff. And like, don't know, I think about Barbie, who is, you know,
The
all of
beauty
those beauty
standard.
standards. And yet, unlike a lot of other things, Barbie's never made me feel bad about myself in the same way. Barbie
Exactly.
was just, she was just Barbie, and you know?
Especially since, and admittedly, it might be a little bit different for our parents who grew up when it was kind of a big deal that, or maybe grandparents, I don't know. Or in between that, you get my point. People older than us who grew up when it was kind of a big deal for there to be a brunette Barbie. But like, I don't know, as time went on, I feel like it got better and better because the company kind of matured, and we don't have Barbies that all look the same. I mean, obviously the body types are all very similar, but
Seen some variation Barbie body types. I do think we could do better with that.
and yeah, that is something I was about to comment on because there was one that was like curvy Barbie, and someone did the calculations, and she would be like a size 4.
I just got a text from one of our friends in all caps. Do you want to see my Barbie outfit?
Well timed, but we can get to that in a minute.
Personally, it just Barbie was a lot of my childhood. It's how I made friends. You know, I collected them. I when I say collected, I mean I have a couple Barbies that currently sell for about $200 sitting in the other
Wow.
room right now. Two of them specifically. Side note, if any of you guys are looking for Christmas Barbies and want to pay me $200 for them, I am willing to sell.
Interesting. You could
Still,
probably find a doll correct or a doll hoarder
yeah, still in
who's willing.
box.
Ooh, girl.
Like, 'cause you know how
Ooh.
they release the like limited time Christmas Barbies every year?
Oh my goodness.
Two of them still in box. They are gorgeous. Like I adore them. But yeah, I got a couple of them.
If you ever need $200. But if we want to get specifically to the movie.
Yeah.
So, as you know, the Barbie movie comes out this Friday. And I believe this is the first like real live action Barbie movie, and it has so many like A-listers in the cast and clearly a huge budget for especially like hate to say it, or I don't hate to say it, but I know this has bad connotation. It has a huge budget for a chick flick.
I
Yeah,
love
basically
that though. Like it. Sorry.
you would have to live under a rock to not know about this right now. And even like, it's very interesting because it does seem to be, even though it is a chick flick, sticking its fingers into lots of different groups of people. That is poor word choice. Lots of different people are interested in seeing this movie. Like my dad and my brother, who are, you know, guys, are just pretty close to as interested as I am because it's been so hyped up.
Yeah, and it's like, I love how they've managed to do this without really giving away anything about the plot. Like, I'm sorry, it is one of my favorite things.
I know it's about how Barbie gets kicked out of Barbie Land for not being perfect enough.
Yeah, but that is not much detail when it comes to like plot of a movie.
No, it's
Like
not,
that
especially
is
one that's this like everywhere. You have to be living under a rock.
Yeah, and everything I hear about it is like all of like the reviews and stuff from the critics who've already seen it. I keep hearing stuff that is just like it's not what you expect, it's not what you expect. And so I'm just like I am so excited. But also from the standpoint of it appealing to everyone, I like media analysis. I find it very interesting and I read a lot of stuff that's talking about how it could be the exact same plot of a story, but if it's there's a male main character, it's a great story for everyone. If it's a female main character, then it's, you know, a great
A
story
chick flick.
for young girls. Chick flick, I tend to I focus more on books because that's just who I am as a person, but you know, goes for any type of media that is widely consumed. It's or not just widely consumed, but like, you know, we're talking about wide audiences. The gender of the male main character determines whether it's a great movie for everyone or a great movie for women. And it's like some stories, like Hunger Games as an example, that does have a female main character, and I do think that pushed beyond being just for women. But when that first came out, apparently that was more advertised towards women than anything.
Also, it takes us back to what we were discussing a little like a minute ago, in that this movie is very hyper feminine, where yes, Hunger Games is around a woman, but she's also, killing people.
Never wears makeup, basically like
Yeah.
throws a fit at having to wear a dress.
Yeah,
But
exactly. Classical J Law. Never mind. I don't have a reason to shade button J Law. I just can't stand her. Anyways, what was I going to say? Also, it's been I feel like that, the difference in how we talk about and how the viewership changes between female main character and male main character, I feel like that fits in every single genre of movie. Or
absolutely.
not movie, not movie, media.
Yeah.
Like every single type of media. And because think about like music. Think about the difference between a band or an artist with a mostly female fan base versus a mostly male fan base. They could, I guess there's no way to test this, but they could release the same songs, produce the same public image, go on the same tours, and if it had a mostly male fan base, then they'd be considered, I don't know, the greatest artist of all time. And then they're a boy band if it's a mostly female fan base.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I also think about it from the standpoint of like the artist. It's like I listen to a lot of, I don't want to say like smaller artists. I mean, they are kind of smaller
Underground.
artists.
They're actually pretty underground.
You've probably never heard of them. They're called Nirvana.
Name 38 songs and the second cat's middle name.
Just kidding. I have actually never really listened to Nirvana.
Me
However,
either.
I do listen to bands like the Crane Wives, which I assume most of the people who are listening to this haven't heard, except for probably like two people. Hi, you two people. I know who you are. You know who you are. Most people who I talk to have no idea who that is. Like, you know, they listen to them, they're like, oh, that's good, but they don't know who that is. And then again, Schaefer James, also pretty unknown, similar vibes. I can't explain it. They're not very similar vibes, but somehow they are similar vibes. Schaefer James has had a lot easier time getting a manager. Like, you know, they both started releasing music around the same times. They're both, I think, around the same level of popularity. Schaefer James got a manager years sooner, got tours scheduled years sooner, was able to get more albums out. Like, and it can be more than just gender. I'm sure it is. You know, it's it, there are a thousand different factors, but it just strikes me as weird how these two artists, for lack of a better term, because maybe one of them's a band, but like they start releasing similar vibes, same target audience, vaguely. Hi, I'm the target audience. Just the difference in what they're able to do. Like, Schaefer James is playing shows in multiple countries. The Crane Wives are just about to have their first tour, which I have tickets to. I'm so excited. But yeah. That was a complete side tangent, but feminism.
Have you seen the people saying that sorry, this quote itself is a little bit funny to me. that the Barbie movie is reverse sexist. It's funny because it implies male is not a sex.
Yeah.
Have you seen the people saying that though?
I have not, but that doesn't surprise me. I mean, it's kind of a whole thing about Barbie that, like, she's, I mean, like, to quote even the direct marketing of she's Barbie, he's just Ken, like, I
Or
think.
no, it's like the this Barbie does blank, this Barbie does blank, and then the promos with Ken are like, he's just Ken.
Because
That's the entire brand.
Ken never had a job. It was about Barbie. I don't think you can be mad at, like, we're not giving a focus to the men when the whole point is giving women a place to, like, I don't know, have dreams.
Also, it wouldn't be very accurate to the entire brand if the movie, and again, neither of us have seen it yet, the public hasn't seen it yet. Like, it might not even, because a lot of the people who I saw saying it's reverse sexist probably only saw the promo in the trailers, and I'm like, you don't know yet, first of all, how it handles this. So, what we really wanted to get to was the marketing with this movie.
Yes.
And the, because I did some research. And first of all, just to lead in, this movie has a totally star-studded cast. Like, even the smaller role, because obviously Barbie and Ken are Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling, who, especially Margot, are some of the biggest stars in the world right now. And also in the smaller characters, there's just pop icons like Dua Lipa and Lizzo, and frickin' Will Ferrell is in the movie, who has a lot of cred, like 35 years of cred.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it.
Very few of the names are names that, like, aren't recognizable.
So here's the research I did on the marketing. The entire movie had a budget of 145 million, which is already a very big budget for not like a Marvel movie
Yeah.
or something like that. And 100 million of that budget was spent on marketing.
Jesus.
That's a little more than two-thirds, probably about 70%. I didn't calculate that, but yeah, that's a ridiculous. And then, okay, this was the most interesting part of my research. I had the idea of looking up some movies, and I found a few movies that their entire budget is less than just the marketing budget of this movie. And the list is all movies that I consider to be pretty big movies, and they're all pretty recent, so inflation is not that much of a change. So for the Mario Bros. Movie and the 2021 version of West Side Story, both had a budget of 100 million, which is what Barbie spent on marketing. And Ford versus Ferrari, which was like several Oscars for that movie, was 97.6 million. Into the Spider-Verse had less, had a smaller budget than Barbie's marketing with 90 million. So did Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, another Margot Robbie hit, 90 million. 2022 Elvis movie had a budget of 85 million, and the original Top Gun from the 80s, adjusted to 2023 dollars, is only 40 million.
Wow.
Also, this is just a side note of something I noticed. These are older than all the other ones except for Top Gun. These are a little older than the rest of them. Those are all 2019, 2018, 2020. All three of the Lord of the Rings movies had a lower budget than Barbie marketing.
That's
And
insane.
I consider those huge movies. Like all the ones I just named, those are all really big names.
Oh, absolutely. To be fair with the Lord of the Rings, I know the joys of growing up in a nerd household. I do know a lot about the CGIs and, like, the, like, little, like, tricks they used, for lack of a better word, to make it look like a much bigger, expansive universe. Because
Like,
those, you
forced
watch those movies,
perspective.
they hold up now. But it, yeah, but like the giant army shots and everything like that, I've seen stuff about, like, how they made all of those work with actually very few cast members present.
But regardless, with the costumes, the special effects, the makeup,
Oh,
those
absolutely.
still cost money and marketing because that is the entire movie's budget.
Yeah,
And it's
that's.
less than the Barbie marketing. And honestly, like, onto the subject of specifically marketing, I'm not sure how I feel about it, to be honest.
Really? I mean, here's what I'll say, just from a personal perspective. I went to the mall Monday. Yeah, Monday. Today's, it's Wednesday recording. So I went to the mall a couple days ago. And it's like the third time I've been to the mall in 2 weeks. Every single store has some kind of Barbie poster. And even if they don't have like an officially marketed Barbie movie, like they'll have like t-shirts, like you know how the shirt the all the stores have just like, you know, t-shirts that happen to be like, you know, themed around these things, even if it's not like an officially licensed for this specific one. They have like the Barbie ones out front or pink. Even if it's not an official like Barbie
Exactly,
something,
it's like hint, hint.
they have the pink in the front of the store. And you know what else? It's selling like crazy. I was in Windsor trying to find my outfit for the Barbie movie because we are dressing up for the Barbie movie because it's gonna be great. And I was in Windsor trying to find my outfit for the Barbie movie, and they have like three pink clothing articles left.
And oh my gosh, also, like, it's not just clothes, too. Like, when we were at Ulta, we saw like press-on nails that had an official deal with the Barbie movie,
It's the
and like makeup
Airbnb.
palettes. And yeah, they made a dream. It's wild, it's absolutely wild. And it, I don't know, it unsettles me. I guess I feel a little better about it now that the first Rotten Tomato scores are out, and it says like 90, 80, maybe 85%. Which makes me think that all of this hype is based in at least a little bit of fact, and that makes me feel a little better about it. But still, it's strange to me because it's like even if this movie wasn't as good as it supposedly is, they could have just bought all this hype and all this attention.
Yeah. No, I understand where you're coming from. I was thinking about it from a different angle, though, of in our post-COVID world, movie theaters I don't think have ever fully recovered. I might be wrong about this. This is speculation. I've not
No,
done
you're right.
actual research on this. But, like, movie theaters never fully recovered because we have too many streaming services and too many things that release both on, like, and it's released in theaters and then it's on HBO 2 weeks later. So, you know, just wait a couple weeks. I think by doing all this hype, it a little bit is to kind of make up for the difference.
Oh, no, yeah, because you notice most of, yes, there are a lot of movies that are releasing both in theaters and on streaming, but it's none of the huge ones.
Yeah.
Like outside, did it even happen during COVID? Like, I don't think a single Marvel movie has been released at the same time
Yeah.
as streaming and in theaters. I don't think that's happened, and those are what I consider to be kind of the biggest movies right now, biggest franchise for sure.
It's actually dying though. The more recent Marvel phase, God, no one kill me. I
The
used to know this, but
multiverse.
this current phase, because they have the two different lines going. They have the multiverse phase, half and the Dark Avengers half. And once they started doing the TV shows and going into those two different plots without the original Avengers, it's falling apart just a little bit. Like, it takes so much effort to keep track of it. And they're chugging out the movies too quickly for people to be able to really keep up with them. And
Yeah, we've
by
discussed
people, I
this.
mean me people. I know,
Yeah,
sorry, this
and
is not
like,
Barbie relevant. I just,
and
Marvel's finally dying.
myself and other people I've talked to, like, yeah, it's falling off. But also, still, can you name a bigger franchise that's ongoing?
No, I think like you got like Marvel and Star Wars, and I count Star Wars as
No,
ongoing because of all of the
Star Wars is
shows
ongoing.
and
You're
their
right.
movies and yeah. Marvel, Star Wars, the big nerd things. Sorry,
Yeah, exactly.
shade button actually.
No, yeah, nerds they come through when paying for the movies. But yeah, that's a side tangent. But I think that I don't know, like, yes, I explained my problem with all of this marketing, but also I feel so good that it's like a high camp, very hyper feminine non-action movie that's getting all of this attention and money put towards it, 'cause I don't know. I feel like it's either been a long time, if not never, since this amount of money was directed to getting female and queer attention.
Yeah.
It makes me feel better that it's not like Okay, I'm going to abbreviate this. I know there's more to it than this. It's making me very happy that all of this money and attention is not going to a man movie for once.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's like, I talk about it being every store, but it's, I'm going into stores that are, geared towards, spoiler alert, I am women. I wear women's clothing and women's makeup.
Women's makeup.
Yeah, so I was gonna say, not that clothing and makeup should have genders, but that's a whole nother conversation.
But no, makeup is funny because, like, clothing is for body types. Everyone has a face, honey.
You know what I mean? Like, stores that
Yeah.
are meant
Stores geared
for,
towards women.
like, to get women's attention, and it's every one of those stores that has it. I'm sorry, like, the stores that have, like, the hats with the fish on them, they do not have Barbie at the front. Some
Yeah,
of them,
no
they have
Dick's
some,
Sporting Goods.
yeah, some of them do
Actually,
have
that
some,
wouldn't
like,
shock
brand
me if
stuff,
it
but,
did.
what, Dick's? If they
Like
had,
it, I said Dick's Sporting Goods probably doesn't have it, but I'm like, actually, it wouldn't shock me
I
if
want to check, but I'm on my phone right now to record this, so I cannot.
they did. But yeah, it's just absolutely everywhere. And also, the concept of a PG-13 Barbie movie makes me laugh.
It's PG-13.
Yeah, it is.
Side note, again, I'm sorry, I keep going on side tangents. I am just a little everywhere today. But you know the Red, White, and Royal Blue movie coming out in August?
Yeah.
It's gonna be trash. I know it is. I love it.
Okay.
I love that it's gonna be trash. Like, if
Honestly, the book wasn't fabulous either, but
the book
carry
is
on.
not, the book is not good in that it's like high art or anything. The book is good in that it makes me happy and smiley. It reads like fan fiction, and I think that makes it perfect. If the movie had been good, it would feel wrong. We're talking about a Barbie movie being PG-13. It's rated R. I know it has to be rated R because I've read that book. I've read that book multiple times. I know. The fact that that movie is rated R is so funny to me because it feels so wrong.
Yeah, exactly, because you expect a level of, I guess not, I don't know, a level of grit or at least edginess. Like, I know that's not true of every movie,
It's
but
like
like
rated
that's
R.
kind of the connotation of the rated R now.
When things are rated R, I expect one of two things. It's either, like heavy, what you're talking about, like the grit, raunchiness, whatnot, or it is like the adult comedy that just takes it a little too far, like the scandalous jokes kind of thing, and
And
they
it's
use.
not very good.
Yeah, it's, I hate those kinds of comedies. I don't actually really watch them. But you know what I mean, like the kind of vibe of like the adult comedies. That's what I picture when you get rated R. One of those two things. This is neither. This is like a YA style cheesy teen romance, but just
No grit.
a little adult.
Yep, no grit, no Jack Black, none of that. It's I mean, Jack Black could be in it, but
Jack Black plays the Prince of England.
No Jack Black, no Ben Stiller, no Vin Diesel, none of that.
Okay, back to Barbie.
No grit, no Jack Black. That is the episode title. Anyway, back to Barbie. I think that also part of the attention it's getting is that these The main cast, at the very least, has such good credit. Like Margot Robbie, she's only like early 30s, I think, and she is one of the most lauded, definitely, actresses of our time. And then Ryan Gosling has a lot of cred because his career's been like 20 years. And yeah, I don't know. I'm really glad that it's like acclaimed, decent actors doing this because. I don't know. You would think of it kind of like as an airheaded, empty concept, but it's hard to play something like that. Something that's such a like established character. And when you say someone acts like Barbie, you know what they mean.
Yeah, it's, I think it was huge shoes for Margot Robbie to fill, but at the same time, I think she is cast perfectly. And I say this having not seen the movie, only seen like the trailers and like the promos and stuff,
Yeah,
but
it's.
she just embraced the role so well.
Oh, yeah, it's huge shoes for Margot Robbie to fill. But that has been said about her a lot. She's had a lot of big shoes to fill across her entire career, and that's why Quentin Tarantino loves her feet so much. It's
Sorry, continue.
anyways, yeah, I am very pro Barbie, and I don't want to think want anyone to think that the argument I made that I don't feel super amazing about just how much was spent on marketing. But also I feel like, again, it would have happened with another movie, and I'm glad it's not another, I don't know, dime a dozen action movie.
Yeah. I also a little bit want to talk about cultural impact. And to be fair, I don't think we're going to be able to fully analyze this till after the movie's actually out and we're like not still in the hype.
Oh, mini mini episode idea.
Oh yeah. Just like a Barbie follow-up in like 2 weeks.
Barbie debrief.
Yeah. Honestly, I support.
Me too.
But it's like, you know, my mom made the comment to me because I was telling her about I was talking to my mom about our plans, and I'm like, yeah, we're gonna go see the Barbie movie. Yeah, we're gonna get all dressed up. We gotta get like, you know, makeup, hair done, you know, all of that. Not like getting professional, just like, you know, like go look all fancy, wear pink, you know, have fun. It's gonna be a whole thing. And a lot of people are doing that. We were in Sephora. We weren't even like in like the pink sections of clothing in the clothing stores. We were in Sephora, and the girls next to us at Sephora were like, do you think this is pink enough for the Barbie movie? And then we're like, yes.
At my job, and people are making full days of it, like full Barbie themed days, or doing the Barbenheimer double feature. Like I heard, I'm a hostess, and I heard someone, like an entire table discussing Barbenheimer, and it's yeah, obviously already having a huge cultural impact.
But it's like the comment my mom made to me because I was showing her like possible idea outfit ideas and like just talking with her about my plans. I do apologize if you can hear the constant thunder in the background.
I can't.
And she looks at me and she goes, "Are you gonna start wearing pink again? Because like I sort of mentioned at the beginning of the episode, I've not been wearing colors for a while, and we're trying to wear colors again." And she got so excited about me starting to wear pink. And I'm thinking about like younger girls. But even also, you know, people our age too who are still trying to learn their identity. There's, I think a lot of girls go through a phase of,
I hate pink.
I hate pink. I hate being like, you know, female and stuff. And it goes back to what you're saying about there's almost a move to like, you know, look down on anything feminine as being bad, that the strong female characters are strong female characters when they're not feminine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I like the idea of a resurgence of strong pink characters.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's not necessary, especially like the. I don't know. The main movie I can think about is The Duff. Have you seen that?
I have not. I'm sorry.
Or even okay, wait, here's a better example that more people have seen. Mean Girls.
Yep.
As Katie gets crazier and less bearable, she starts to dress more feminine. All of the women in the movie that are portrayed in a good light are not very feminine, like Janet, even though Janice, I don't know. She's portrayed in a good light, might not be a good person, but that's another thing. Janice and the mother and Miss Norbury, they're not very feminine.
And even at the end, when Katie, you know, ha it does her mathlete thing and finally like comes to her realization, she's wearing like I think khakis and a polo, and
Well,
then
that
goes
was
to the
her
fun.
uniform
Yeah,
for
I
the
know it's her
team.
uniform, but then she goes to the dance like that.
But I was referring to the very end. I don't remember her exact outfit, but it wasn't like the hyper feminine that it used to be. And as the plastics get more quote unquote good, they get rid of that whole paint. And like, it's, I don't know. I feel like it's a lot of subliminal messaging that it's hard to put a label on.
Yeah, no, I'm with you though.
But I feel like the whole, especially in the way that we experienced it, is a phenomenon kind of specific to Generation Z. Like the Not Like Other Girls thing and the Pick Me Girls thing and the whatever. I
Yeah.
feel like no other people have experienced it, at least in the way that we did.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's true for every generation, but there's stuff that like, you know, you only you guys have experienced.
Yes, every generation has these things, but this is a movie that is so relevant and such a big screw you to that whole movement.
Yeah, and it transcends generation, I think, a little bit. It's like
Absolutely.
I was talking it, you mentioned, your brothers and stuff, and brother, I said brothers, your brother and your father and everyone being like interested in this. I was at work. I work, as like I said, at a paint place. I have two younger, underage, like Gen Z co-workers, and then with the owners and manager. And the manager, she's like very much like, yes, Barbie movie. The owner, who I actually see who's there fairly frequently, he's like, we were talking to him about the Barbie movie. He was not super into it, but it's like one of my younger co-workers, a 15-year-old boy, was like so excited for this Barbie movie.
Oh,
It's a,
beautiful.
it's, I love what's happening and I can't wait to see where it goes, and I
I
hope it
know.
goes somewhere good.
Me too. Me too. I am praying for that. Oh, but also a side note that I feel like on this topic it's important to explore. Like, yes, there are those movies where like the quote unquote good women are a little more masculine and then the not good women are more feminine. Have you noticed that people on the side that are a little more masculine, have you noticed that they get sexist comments too? Like, okay, there's the whole like bimbo trope, and then there's also the I am woman, hear me roar trope.
Yeah.
And those are both things that are so criticized. Like, first of all, where's the line for both of them? Second of all, it feels like a very small sliver that a female character has to fit into to not be attacked by one of those. Because think about like Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, just really any character like that
It's almost
who.
like no matter what women or female characters do, they're going to get criticized for it because there is no proper way for a woman to be
A women.
a woman. No, I said it like that on purpose. I like, because it
If a
is
woman has
objectifying.
starch masks, it's just, I don't think, I really hope that the Barbie movie skews away from this, but movies with, and maybe it's all the marketing and the hype around it that has created this effect, and maybe it is a good thing, but I feel like movies centered around a very feminine character poison the well for the audience a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I remember just, this is a really specific example. My dad, right before we showed my brother Pitch Perfect, him saying, I was surprised by how much I like this. And I have a wonderful father. He's a feminist. I've always appreciated the stuff he says around this subject. But I was like, why? It's, and I understand the tendency to think musicals are kind of shitty, but
Yeah.
still.
Pitch Perfect 1 is good.
It's
Pitch Perfect 2
fabulous.
and 3 are.
Two is funny. It's not as good. Three is abysmal.
Pitch Perfect, the
The
first one,
first one.
is a great movie. I love the riff-offs so much.
Me too. I consider Pitch Perfect the first one to be like the last really good, pure chick flick. The
Well,
last, like, really good one.
do you
Because
think
can
there
you.
could be more?
Oh, absolutely. No, I don't mean last period, but I mean like most recent. I think that. And that's another thing I'm hoping for the Barbie movie, like a really good chick flick.
I feel like Barbie movie, though, with the hype, with the audience, with everything, is also with the meme. The meme has, I think, done like half the marketing, just a little bit. Like all the Barbenheimer.
Yeah.
I can't open Instagram or TikTok without hearing things about Barbie.
Or Oppenheimer.
Or Oppenheimer. But this might just be because of who I am, but I only ever hear about Oppenheimer in the context of Barbie and Barbenheimer.
Oh, we love it. Me too, kind of. Not really. I haven't really heard of Oppenheimer as a standalone. It's always Barbenheimer, and I love that.
I keep seeing people who are like, who do you like, which movie do you think is going to outsell? And I'm like, Barbie. I have no doubt. And if I'm wrong, you know, I'm wrong, I guess. There's nothing that's actually gonna happen. But like, I am convinced Barbie's gonna outsell this weekend.
I hope so, because I feel like as a society, with all of the stuff that's going on in the world, a high camp movie like this being well received and enjoyed by a lot of people is what we need.
Yeah.
A high camp, fun movie with lots of pink and Margot Robbie. Yes, it's exactly what we need.
I love
So,
Margot Robbie.
I love her too. So does Quentin Tarantino. I mean, he's right, but like, seriously, dude, you're a little obvious. Not referring to your feet. Anyways, I think we've said everything that needs to be said.
We'll see. We'll probably check back. Even if we don't make a full mini episode, I do think we come back to this next episode just to kind of comment on like a what happened with the Barbie movie. So yeah, we will see you guys with a Barbie debrief and also at our next episode. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. This has been a double-sided story.
I'm Lilia.
I'm Eleanor.
Bye.
Bye-bye.